Hello and welcome into this edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you are having a wondrous day in the neighborhood. And glad to be back after a day away. Yesterday was an outside studio day that was scheduled a little too early for me to be able to do this and that too. And just to be honest, since I'm getting paid for that, that's what I chose to do. I think you understand that, don't you? Let's see. Paid gig, unpaid gig. Paid gig, I think I'm going with the paid gig. Anyway, that's where I was yesterday. I was somewhere getting paid instead of being here in the studio doing the Facebook Live and other things. Let me make sure of something here. Are we on? Yeah, we're on Facebook Live. Yeah. Yay, we're on Facebook Live. Good stuff. And let's see. Make sure. Yes, there comes the flag. Good. All is well. I looked up literally 2 minutes before the top of the hour and realized that my pre-show music, usually there's some oddball, little jazzy, strange stuff that plays just to fill time until the top of the hour. I'll take the feed live on Facebook and then and just play some filler music until we hit the theme song. And I realized, I looked at the clock and thought, my, it's quiet. Why? And it was because I screwed something up. And it's always my fault. Not usually. It's always my fault some way or another. I got to own it. I got to take ownership of it. But somehow I messed things up. And no pre-show music. So we just started cold today. And if you listen to the podcast, you don't know that. It's no big deal. But for those of you who are on Facebook Live, surprise! We're here. My goodness gracious. Let's see. Yesterday was not a really eventful day. Had an interesting podcast recording, and then had lunch with my mom. My mom's 85. I try to have lunch or do something with her at least once a week. She's here, and I can do that. My dad's in Pensacola. They got divorced years ago, and so I don't get to see him as often, and that hurts because his memory is going, and he's also in his mid-80s. His memory's going. He had like a triple bypass surgery a few years ago, and he just hasn't been the same since. He's just been getting weaker, and so I stay in phone contact, but since it's Pensacola, it's hard to get down there on a regular basis just because life, you know. And we're trying to clear a weekend to get back down there in the very near future just for a visit because, you know, just because that his hearing is also going. His hearing aids don't help with a telephone. So the last time I called my stepmom, Charlotte hands him the phone, and he says, "I'm sorry, I can't hear you." That was pretty much his response to everything I had to say. It didn't matter how loud I said it. I mean, the phone on the other end, you know, it's a phone. You only get so much volume out of a phone. And she's got it turned up all the way, and it's not loud enough for him. And it was just kind of an exercise in frustration. Anyway, hopefully a visit very soon. And I may take a day on one side or the other of a weekend to make that happen, too. So I'll let you know before that happens. Anyway, hopefully you had a good day yesterday, that all is well with you and yours, that you are safe, and that the insanity that's been happening around us isn't frying your brain. I will just say this. If you are getting anxious, can I please recommend something for you? Unplug. Turn off the news. Stop watching. Give yourself minimum 1 week. 1 week. Seven consecutive days. Don't check news sites. Don't search out your favorite news sources on social media. Don't watch television news, regardless of the source. Just unplug for a week. Spend time with your family, with your loved ones, and your friends. Hang out with your neighbors. Barbecue. Do something. Just unplug for 7 straight days. Your anxiety will disappear. Your stress will go away. because you're seeing real life, the way things really are, not the way they're being portrayed. I encourage you to do that. We all have to do that from time to time. You know, I've encouraged you. If you've been listening for a while, you've heard me encourage you to do that for a little while every weekend, to take a little time, half an hour, and just unplug from everything, everything, no music, no video, no nothing, and just go, and that's just intense unplugging. Do that for a little while every weekend. Be alone with your thoughts. Be alone with the universe, however you want to say it. Be alone with God, and deal. You'll come out of it a healthier person. And right now, in the midst of everything that's going on, we're being lied to from every side. We're being lied to about the coronavirus. We're being lied to about race relations in America. We're being lied to about politics. We're being lied to about practically everything. If you're conscientious enough to do some digging and see the fact that we're being lied to, on one hand, you're encouraged because you know the truth. On the other hand, you're frustrated and you're angry because you're being lied to. So, honestly, unplug. Just do it. Unplug, take it easy, relax, and enjoy. Go fishing. There's an idea. Just do something that requires that you unplug and spend some time in real life. Because trust me, social media is not real life. The evening news is not real life. It is an intensely amplified version of what's wrong with life. Unplug. Find something to have fun with. Find something to laugh about. I tell you, one thing I'm tempted to do is to spend a few days doing nothing but digging through comedy videos, stand-up comics, and just laugh about everything. That would be one way I would escape. But you do you. I know it's hard to travel right now. I know it's hard to do anything, really, as far as activities anywhere besides inside your home. But things are loosening up. So find a way to unplug and do it for days. If you can, do it for 7 days. Everything will get better. You've got to find ways to appreciate life. And the best way I can think too is to actually deal with life. And that's to live it with your family, with your friends, and just enjoy it as much as you possibly can. And while you're at it, don't dwell on the things that have got you anxious. Don't talk about them. Find other things to talk about and just step away and get refocused on what's real. That's important. And when you come back, you'll be able to laugh at things in life. Here's an example.
And it is time for a president who understands Coldplay is the best band in the world.
That's wrong.
You got that wrong.
No, look, I got hairy legs.
I'm best equipped to beat Donald Trump.
That's what your poll said.
Vice President Biden,
why are you a better choice than your opponents?
I got hairy legs. Hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. In the sun. Covered up my legs. From the morning until the day's done. So the day's done.
We are at the end here.
I got hairy legs. Yeah. That's right. You heard what I said. You heard what I said.
Yeah, man.
Watch the hair come back up again.
I'm the guy with the best chance to win.
Time is a thing.
It's only 60 seconds, not up yet.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys and a bad crew.
Michael, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I really was the only white guy they really knew. He said, I'll meet you outside. And I said, what am I gonna do? Corn Pop, he can't stop. Corn Pop, he won't stop.
Yeah. That's fine, thank you.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women horse-faced lesbians. You could release women from those agreements immediately.
Maybe they didn't like the joke I told.
Are you willing to release them?
Release them. These agreements were made, consensually.
Yeah. I'm the only person on this stage that's
got hairy legs.
Seriously?
Hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
We got other issues we're trying to get
to. Here's the last point I want to make. My time's going to run out. Here's the last point I want to make to you.
I got hairy legs!
We are a country where there are too many people that are obese.
I am scared.
Vice President Biden, I want to start with you. Why should anyone have faith that you're the one who can get this done now?
Because I'm the only one that...
Let's talk about
math.
Okay, so here's the math.
Coldplay is the best fan.
Can I respond to the...
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Okay.
Joe said it right.
Here's the deal. Here's the look. I think it's important that on day one... Day one, I have more hair than anyone else.
I got hairy legs!
I don't care!
Yeah! That's right, you heard what I said! You heard what I said! That's a pretty darn good life, Kurt. I learned a lot.
We let this get out of control.
Been down in Mayfield with my grandpa. We used to play basketball with a corn pop. And he sank every single shot. Corn pop, he can't stop. Corn pop, he won't stop. Yeah. Corn pop, he sank every shot.
Time is a thank you.
I'm not out of time. You spoke over time, and I'm going to talk. Here's the deal.
I got hairy legs.
Bonafide 2020.
Everybody vote if you can. For your favorite woman or man. You can sing this track from Japan to Finland.
Get the song here. Have a great day and a great life. And don't forget to wear a life jacket and blaze.
You're welcome. It'll be stuck in your head all day now. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes, the link to that is in today's show notes. So make sure you get today's show notes so you can actually get that. Hey, if you want to, just go to YouTube and search hairy legs. It's just priceless. It really is. And that is something you can laugh about. You can laugh about the absurdities in life. Some of the absurdities in life, you just have to shake your head and wonder. And why? Because it's just stupid. And you have to be able to laugh at the stupidity sometimes. You just do. And that's why it's so important to unplug, to get away, and to get some perspective back. Hey, listen, I don't call this the Daily Perspective for nothing. You know, you've got to have a little perspective on life, and perspective on the absurdity is extremely important. We have to be able to laugh. Laughter, as they say, is the best medicine. It cures a lot of ills. So unplug, de-stress, and get back to a place where you can laugh about life again. It's extremely important. If you don't, wow, you're not going to be in great shape. And that's that. Speaking of absurdity, HBO Max has pulled Gone with the Wind, the classic film, from its service. They did that this week because of protests and the riots that have broken out across the United States in response to the death of George Floyd. The company later said that the movie would eventually be brought back, but only with a discussion of its historical context and an announcement of those very depictions. Now, this is insanity as far as I'm concerned. It's laughable. It's a 4-hour long period piece movie that actually deals with this woman who's obsessed with her plantation and her love affair with a guy who's really not the best of individuals. And the lengths that she will go to protect her plantation, and the depictions of people in the movie, people of color in the movie, actually ended up winning Hattie McDaniel the very first ever Academy Award awarded to a black person in America. So in that sense, the movie Gone with the Wind is a landmark for people, for black people in the profession of acting in motion pictures. She won this award, the very first Academy Award for a black actor. And HBO is going to pull the movies out of sensitivity. you know, the same thing happened. Disney did the same thing with the movie Song of the South. I don't know if you've ever seen Song of the South. You can find it online. You can't. I found it online. I have a DVD of it. I bought from someplace online, spent about $20 on it. I've watched the movie. It's actually not a bad film. It's set in Reconstruction times during the South. And black people are portrayed in a positive manner. In fact, the main guy in the film, the black man in the film who tells the stories, is a positive role model. And yet, oversensitive people ban it because of the time it was set in. So now the same thing has happened to Song of the South. That happened to Song of the South has happened to Gone with the Wind. You have to shake your head and you have to laugh at the idiocy. You just have to. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast for a Wednesday, the 10th day of June, 2020. Hope you're having a good day so far. Oh, man. Hey, just sort of a little housekeeping before we move forward. There's going to be at least one day next week where I'm going to have to skip as well due to outside scheduling conflicts. I'll let you know more about that as we get to the end of the week. Anything else? Nothing I can think of. Did I finish telling you the story? I don't know that I did. No, I didn't, I don't think. Because the last time we were together was Monday. And I had been telling you the story. This is just personal business. I'd been telling you the story about the washer and dryer that I stumbled up on. My buddy Mike stumbled up on and told me about. Some guy had a rental house. He's selling it. He just wants everything out of it. Sold the washer and dryer, the set of them, for $50. And it's not some old white porcelain washer and dryer. These are new, relatively new, within 5 or 6 years. Samsung. Samsung has its issues. But if I'm not paying full price for it, I'll deal with the issues. But just look them up. They're front loaders, so it's a front-loading washer, and you know the front-loading washers, everybody thought, ooh, cool, and then they started learning that they leak, and that's one of the issues with this particular one. It had problems in the seal, and I know what caused the tears in the seal, the door seal now, because that's part of the story, and so anyway, $50, I bought a new seal for $45, so I've got $95 in the set. The seal itself is $95 if you want to buy the original product, the Samsung, but you can find a replacement, a generic aftermarket replacement now for $45, so I have the price of the door seal in the washer and the dryer. Well, they're these front loaders, so they're real low to the floor, and bending over to move heavy laundry from the washer to the dryer after a while starts hurting the back, so they sell these stands, these pedestals, and they want about $300 a piece for them. So I said, no way, not going to happen. Sorry, this would be a game. Well, this is a no. Not happening. No, 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 no.
Dang it, Bobby.
Dang it, Bobby, ain't going to happen. So I built one. I built a stand to put them both on to get the door up to the right height for myself and especially my wife, who, bless her heart, she's, you know, her back hurts when she has to do a lot of bending and such. And so I built the stand, got the doors up high enough so they're just right at the right place. And I struggled with getting the dryer up on there and finally figured out a way to get the washer up on the stand. And as I'm pushing the washer back up into its place, I heard something move and the drain tube came out of the drain. Now, you have to understand, this has been a monumental effort to get it, because the dryer is very heavy. I mean, it's actually got two big concrete weights inside of it to offset the vibrations when it's spinning. So it's heavy. And it took a lot to get this puppy up on the stand. And then I heard something come loose. And I said, by this time, I'm wasted. I'm tired. I'm gone, right? This is it. This is this is Monday afternoon. It's late. I'm Monday evening, actually, and it's after dinner, and I'm going to wrap this up so I can say it's done with. I'm finished. All I got to do is a little cleanup, and I'm done, and things start falling apart, and I realize I've got to pull this thing back out of here and reconnect that and then put it back in again. No, I'll figure out some way to make that happen tomorrow, and I'll get it handled. And so I did. But Monday night, as I'm drifting off to sleep, you know how you remember things when you put your head on the pillow and the day starts fading away and you start to remember, oh, I didn't get that done, or you know what I'm talking about. It's that moment when everything is slipping away and it's getting peaceful and, oh no, I had that moment. And that moment was that even though, yeah, the drain had come loose, but also I never turned the water back on. So I had a washer in place that couldn't drain, but that was okay because it couldn't fill either. So yesterday morning outside appointment, I got my rig together and moved the washer out. And I did figure out a way to move it. I have a couple of years ago, I ran across a deal on a patient lift that I was going to use as an engine crane. I could buy this for $30 or spend $175 or $200 on an engine lift. And because working on a car. And so I bought this patient lift and it'll lift a motor out of a Miata. So I still had it in the garage tucked in a corner. And that's what I used to move the washing machine. I used it in a couple of web straps and it picked that washing machine up like it was just nothing. And I was able to roll it over and put it into place. So that's how I moved it around. But yesterday I moved it out, reconnected the drain, turned the water on, put it back in place, and I've run a few test loads through it, light stuff, to make sure there aren't any leaks, and it's all great. But still, that waking up, that you're laying there, oh no. It's kind of like Brian Regan waking up the day of the science fair and realizing he never did his science project. Oh no. That's kind of how it was for me. Oh my gosh. Just ridiculous, just crazy, just weird. Oh, man. Let's see. Let's see here. I'm trying to see if I want to move things out of order. Okay, here, before I go any further, just before the bottom of the mid-break in the podcast, let's go over this direction to redstate.com. There's a report by Nick Arama there about somebody in California who is about to be in a heck of a lot of trouble. You know, there's been a move in LA to remove $150 million from the LAPD as part of the defund the police effort by radical leftists and Democrat politicians. Add that on top of the inability of the officials to deal with the riots in LA and many businesses looted and in ruins, you have a perfect storm of problems. Enter even one more here. According to Fox 11's Bill Melikan, criminal defense attorney Mark McBride is now being investigated by the LAPD after he posted on Instagram encouraging people. This guy's a criminal defense attorney. He's a lawyer. He posts publicly on Instagram encouraging people to murder police officers and offering to represent them for free if they kill a cop. I'm not going to read his posts. I just won't. I will read this. Here's what he says about police brutality. Quote, "It won't stop until black people start murdering cops, which they should do often and with great relish. These bleep low IQ can't get into law school jarheads need an asphalt nap during which they're bleeding out on the street where they're shot down. I would have no problem with them. I would absolutely 100% defend to the death of any African-American who picked off a cop or two. It's time. It's well past time." And in a follow-up post, he writes, "It wouldn't be the first time I've defended terrorists Sign me up pro bono for somebody's granddad putting a couple of hollow points between the eyes of these PTSD-addled rednecks. I'd take one or two pro bono. Maligan says the LAPD called the post extremely disgusting and said that McBride was now under investigation. When they tried to hunt him down and get comment, they discovered his alleged office wasn't actually at the Beverly Hills address his website claims. He was ultimately tracked down in San Gabriel in a room of a house, which was where his office was officially listed with the Bar Association. Maligan said he found McBride looking disheveled, but he refused to talk with him after saying he had nothing further to say. Maligan says his license has been suspended multiple times for failure to pay child support. Oh, so he's a gem. Now, the LAPD, the LA Police Protective League, that is, that's the union for the LAPD, they want his license revoked. And Sergeant Jaretta Sandoz says he should definitely be disbarred, and he will be reported to the state bar. For threats, especially that vile, is disgusting, disheartening, and that person definitely needs to be reported, and we will ensure there is a full investigation done, and that's underway. So an attorney in Southern California publicly on social media encouraged people to murder police officers and said he would represent them for free if they did. This is what we're dealing with, people. This is what we're dealing with. This is the insanity. It just makes you shake your head. It makes me want to go away for a week, if I'm honest. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast for this Wednesday, the 10th day of June, 2020. Mark Congleton here. Good to have you along. Scanning social media in the breaks, as I always do. Hey, this is an interesting quote. An interesting quote from Joe Biden from last night. On CBS News, he told CBS News last night he wants to select a running mate, quote, who is ready to be president on day one. Quote, it's really important that whomever you pick as the vice president agrees with you in terms of your philosophy of government and agrees with you on the systemic things that you want to change. And is, in fact, going to be able to be someone who is not at all intimidated by the president, not at all intimidated walking in the White House, and is going to be prepared to give their unvarnished opinion and be able to privately argue with the president if they disagree. I want someone strong. I want someone strong and someone who is ready to be president on day one. Wow. Now, there are other things that go on, and I'll let you go find this. It's on dailywire.com, but I that's a very telling thing. He wants someone who is strong enough to be the president on day one. I'm sure that sentiment comes from planning meetings with the DNC. Because they want to be sure, since he is so addled and clearly challenged by the task at hand, they would like to be able to remove him at a moment's notice and have a qualified person ready to step into the position. Just one of those things that makes you go, Well, the New York Police Benevolent Association yesterday railed against state legislators and the press for vilifying law enforcement officers amid the nationwide demonstrations over the death of George Floyd. The New York PBA's president, Mike O'Meara, said at a press conference that officers have 375 million interactions with individuals each year, and that most of them are overwhelmingly positive. In fact, I've actually got the audio here. Let's see if we can listen to the entirety of what he had to say.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike O'Meara. I'm the president of the New York State.
Well, that was nice. Now, why did they do that? That's strange. I pressed the button. I clicked it to move forward, and it just reloaded everything on me. And my apologies. That stinks. Let's see if I can make this work here. Maybe. And maybe this one. Maybe this. Okay, there we go. Let's try that one.
Good afternoon.
There we go.
My name is Mike O'Meara. I'm the president of the New York State Association of PBAs. And I just want to talk to you, the press, and I want to talk to the police officers. 375 million interactions with the public every year. 375 million interactions. Overwhelmingly positive responses. Overwhelmingly positive responses. But I read in the papers all week, we all read in the papers, that in the black community, mothers are worried about their children getting home from school without being killed by a cop. What world are we living in? That doesn't happen. It does not happen. I am not Derek Chauvin. They are not him. He killed someone. We didn't. We are restrained. And you know what? I'm saying this to all the cops here. Because you know what? Everybody's trying to shame us. The legislators, the press, everybody's trying to shame us into being embarrassed about our profession. Well, you know what? This isn't stained by someone in Minneapolis. It's still got a shine on it. And so do theirs. So do theirs. Stop treating us like animals and thugs and start treating us with some respect. That's what we're here today to say. We've been left out of the conversation. We've been vilified. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Trying to make us embarrassed of our profession. 375 million interactions. Overwhelmingly positive. Nobody talks about all the police officers that were killed in the last week in the United States of America, and there were a number of them. We don't condone Minneapolis. We roundly reject what he did as disgusting. It's disgusting. It's not what we do. It's not what police officers do. Our legislators abandoned us. The press is vilifying us. Well, you know what, guys? I'm proud to be a cop. And I'm going to continue to be proud to be a cop until the day I retire. And that's all I have to say.
Wow. The New York Police Department has faced heightened scrutiny in recent days over its handling of protests, including criticism of one video showing two police cruisers lurching through protesters and another showing an officer pushing a woman to the ground, an incident that is under internal review. The Buffalo Police Department has also faced criticism over a graphic video shot by a WBFO journalist that shows a 75-year-old man slowly approaching a group of police officers until one of them tells him to move away and then pushes him to the ground, where he lies bleeding as officers walk away. Just for clarification, in that particular case, that man was a known agitator. He was a known activist. He showed up and actually surprised some protesters who were there by saying he was looking to have some fun. So he was looking for trouble. And sources are saying that he was actually scanning, using a phone to digitally scan police officers' gear to find out what they were up to. And that if you look at the video of him being pushed down, that the way he fell wasn't natural. And it all looks very staged. That's just all we have to say about that. O'Meara said he condemns the act of Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer who knelt on Floyd's neck for more than 8 minutes. The protest slogan, "I can't breathe," which were some of Floyd's last words, was originally coined after the death of Eric Garner, who died at the hands of a NYPD police officer in 2014. The article says he died of asphyxiation, but I believe the medical examiner's report said he had a heart attack. The slogan has been, I may be wrong, the slogan has been used at demonstrations protesting Floyd's death and police brutality, including among activists who have pressured lawmakers to defund police departments. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio Sunday pledged to cut funding for the NYPD and reallocate it to youth and social services after facing mounting pressure from demonstrators. The coward. Some New York lawmakers have redirected campaign donations from the New York PBA to bail funds in an effort to disassociate themselves from law enforcement organizations. House Democrats, meanwhile, have proposed sweeping reform legislation that would, among other things, repeal the qualified immunity doctrine, which protects police officers from lawsuits. Republicans are working on their own police reform bill as well. What's happening here is that leftists are taking the focus off of what's actually happening. They're putting the focus on police. When you know the statistics, when you know the reality of the situation, you know that bad behavior by cops is rare. And that bad behavior happens in every profession. As we just saw, there are bad lawyers. One in California encouraging people to murder police officers. There are bad people sitting on the bench as judges who are making judgments not based on the law, but on emotional leftist interpretation of law. There are bad doctors. Yeah, there are. You just ask anybody who works in the medical profession and they'll tell you they've had their... Just spend some time talking to nurses. And they'll tell you some stories. Let's just say that. There are bad people who work in retail. For the life of me, I can't understand why people who are not, if you're not a people person, don't work in retail. When you're working with the public, you better be a people person. There are people who are bad at that and they treat customers badly. There are bad people in every line of work. People who should not be doing what they're doing. People who are ill-suited for it and eventually will bomb out at what they do. And when they do, other people are hurt along the way. It's not just the police force. It's everywhere. The chief issue we have with policing in America today is that these bad apples are defended. They are supported. They are protected by police unions. We need police union reform. We need realistic regulations over police unions to prevent them from protecting bad cops. And when that protection from the police unions is taken out of the way, then police departments across America can call those bad cops in and encourage them to move into some other line of work because they won't be working for the police department anymore. Please don't be misled. Don't be deceived. It's not the police officers who are killing black people. It's black men between 15 and 40 who are killing, murdering. 50% of the murders in America today are committed by black men between 15 and 40. 3.5% of America's population responsible for half of the murders committed every year. Those people aren't cops. It's not the cops that are hurting the black community. It's the black community. And part of the blame for that goes right to the feet of Democrats who enable them. Oh, man. I wish I could get away with playing it. Classic. Oh, Rubber Band Man. I like it. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast, diving into the final segment for this Wednesday, the 10th day of June 2020. Where is the year gone? That's what I want to know. Come on. It's already June. I want my year back. Can I get a refund on 2020? Can I at least get my deposit back? I'd like that. That would be nice. Some folks in Minneapolis would kind of like to have their deposit back. There's a manufacturing company there that's decided to leave the city because they say the city didn't protect their people during the protests over the death of George Floyd. Chris Weirbeck, he's the president and owner of Seven Sigma. He told the Star Tribune that he can't trust public officials who let his plant burn in the riots. The company is operated out of Minneapolis since 1987, and its move will cost the city about 50 jobs. He said, they don't care about my business. They didn't protect our people. We're all on our own. On the first day of the protest in Minneapolis, Weirbeck said he released his employees at 7 p.m., closed down 4 hours early to ensure their safety. He said he was informed the next door midtown corner affordable housing apartment was on fire by a production supervisor and a maintenance worker who lived nearby. Seven Sigma leads in the production of precision rollers used in printing systems. That generate bank statements, social security checks, etc. The city's initial survey of damage following the protest found 1,000 commercial locations were damaged. 1,000. 52 completely destroyed. 30 others severely damaged. Have you seen the video? There's video floating around the web now. That's not the news video. The news organizations aren't showing you this video. This place looked like Mogadishu. This place looks like, it looks like these places that have been just leveled by war. Buildings hollowed out by fire. Smoke hanging in the air. Graffiti painted everywhere. It's destruction. It's not protest. It's riots and destruction. The mayor, Jacob Fry, said Monday he didn't know of Seven Sigma's decision to move. Several business owners have claimed the city didn't do enough to protect them. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz called the city's initial response to the riots an abject failure. He activated the National Guard, deployed them into the city just before the third night of protests at the request of the mayor. He says this was a guard-sized crisis and demanded a guard-sized response. And once we had the full presence of the National Guard, which, by the way, hasn't been deployed since World War II, there was a significantly different result. The mayor announced yesterday, Monday, that is, the formation of Minneapolis Forward Community Now Coalition to assist in rebuilding the community. Business owners and insurance experts predict the cost of damage will reach beyond $500 million. That makes it the second most expensive civil disturbance in the United States, behind the 1992 protests in Los Angeles. And in today's money, that rebuild would have cost $1.4 billion. The government in Minnesota failed in their job to protect the people. They have a constitutional requirement to do so, and they didn't do it. They were playing games with radicals who destroyed their city. They were trying to appease people who cannot be appeased. They were giving them room to act out because they were angry. And in the process, they allowed people to die and property to be destroyed, which is illegal. They can't do that, regardless of how they may rationalize it. They legally cannot do that. They should be held responsible. And why is this all happening? Because what's happening in America today is being driven by an organization which is looking to overthrow the way of life in America. Our system of government, everything, which is why Democrats are turning a blind eye to what's actually happening with Black Lives Matter. It's all spinning out of control. And Tucker Carlson had something to say about that the other night. And he's made some folks mad.
And then things began to spin completely out of control, not just in this country, but throughout the West. As the crowd swelled and the demand for total ideological conformity grew louder, this latest cultural revolution became a parody of itself, as they always do. In London, protesters vandalized a statue of Abraham Lincoln, because what did Abraham Lincoln ever do for black people? In Boston, a mob defaced a monument to the first all-black volunteer regiment in the Civil War, because black people dying to end slavery sounds like white supremacy to us. At around the same time, a law professor from the University of Chicago called for an armed coup to overthrow the president of the United States, but that didn't get a lot of press because it didn't seem particularly newsworthy under the circumstances. It was that kind of weekend. What is going on? What is this about? Even the outlines are blurry at this point, but we know this. No matter what they tell you, it has very little to do with black lives, if only it did. If Democratic leaders cared about saving the lives of black people, and they should, they wouldn't ignore the murder of thousands of young black men in their cities every year. They wouldn't put abortion clinics in black neighborhoods. They would instead do their very best to improve the public schools and to encourage intact families, which we know beyond a shadow of a doubt is central to the life prospects of children. They try to make black neighborhoods as safe as their own neighborhoods. They would close the payday lenders that add so much misery to the lives of poor people of all colors. But they don't even consider doing any of this. They don't even try. Instead, they encourage theft and mayhem as if that will help. It will not help. This may be a lot of things, this moment we're living through, but it is definitely not about black lives. And remember that when they come for you, and at this rate, they will. Anyone who's ever been subjected to the rage of the mob knows the feeling. It's like being swarmed by hornets. You cannot think clearly. And the temptation is to panic. But you can't panic. You've got to keep your head and tell the truth. Tell the truth. If you show weakness of any kind, they will crush you. Ask Drew Brees. By some accounts, poor Drew Brees is on his fourth apology for the crime of defending the American flag. He decided to apologize, and now they're using him as a propaganda organ, hostage tape after hostage tape. At a moment like this, there is no advantage in cowardice, in being Mitt Romney. You think you're saving yourself, you're just empowering the worst people, people who hate you. Before you know it, you're confessing to crimes you didn't commit. Don't start. Tell the truth. And the truth is, this is a good country, better than any other. Of course we are flawed, but we are trying, unlike most places, and we have nothing to be ashamed of, none of us. Immigrants know that best of all. That's why they come here. A million new Americans every year. They're not coming because America is a racist country. They're coming because it's not. That's all true. And in our clear moments, we know it's true. Even the people claiming it's not. Truth is a defense, no matter what they're telling you at this moment. This moment will pass. Remember that. All moments do. When it does, we will look back at what we just saw in horror and disbelief. But if you're honest now, you will keep your dignity, and ultimately you will be very glad about that. Life is not worth living without it.
Very true. And we need to keep this all in perspective. And that is that what's happening right now is not an honest uprising. It's a manipulated uprising. It is something which has been orchestrated, something which has been choreographed, and it's been people participating in it have bought into something that is a big lie. I encourage you today to go look at the statistics to see what's really happening with police interactions with the black community. See what's really going on. And when you actually look at the real statistics, not the misinformation, the disinformation being put out by Black Lives Matter, when you look at the real information, you begin to see a different picture. You begin to understand that what's really going on is that a segment of our society decided to put its trust in political lies, and those political lies have never borne fruit that they were promised. And those political liars kept making the promises and blaming the lack of results on other people when they knew from the beginning they could never do what they were promising to do. They just made the promises to get elected. And once elected, they knew they couldn't make those changes. And so they did symbolic things to make the people happier and to convince them that it was their political opponents who hate them and don't want them to get what they want. It's been happening for over 50 years now. And a lot of people in the black community are sitting up and realizing these people have been lying to us and they're stepping away. And hopefully people across America see what's been happening in these cities and decide to make a sweeping change in November and eliminate more Democrats from national government. And that's all for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.